Yes, I'm standing right.
Everyone have a seat, please.
Come on, man.
We started passing it off yesterday by he. Kasha Hickory. Vayihi Kasha Hickory, Lava and Mitzrayim. And as they approached Mitzrayim, Vayomer, he said, Al Sarai Ishtai, he said about, Rashi says, El means Al over here, means he's concerned with his wife. Hina Yadati Ki Ishifas Marat. I know that you're very beautiful. We went to this Rashi yesterday, the three different pshatim. But now he's aware of her problem, that he's aware that her beauty is going to cause problems. He said also, as he headed down to the shrine, he became more aware of the znus aspect of it that he wasn't aware of earlier. All right? Different pshat than we saw. And he said, I see you're beautiful. And when the Mitzrim see you, v'amru ishtei zois, and they'll conclude that she is his wife, v'hargu oisi, they will kill me, v'osachi chayu, and you they will let live. Now, what's so bad with letting her live? Why it says, okay, kill me is a problem. Why is letting you live a problem? Right. That means that, right. Doesn't mean you'll live. You'll be up to their mercy now. They'll have control of you. Excuse me. So Imru na achoisiat. Please say, you're my sister. Laman yitav li ba'avu reich. So that they will benefit me because of you, and I will live because of you. Okay. So, Ramban, very important Ramban. Look at Ramban, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Hinei Yedati. Let me see Ramban. Hinei Yedati.
Straddles.
Huh? Hinei Yedati. Have a look at Ramban, Hinei Yedati. Imri no achoisi at. Imri no achoisi at. Merk and start reading.
Okay.
Lo Yedati.
Where is it?
Lo Yedati. One more pachad mimeno. Also, Yoyi.
Ato.
Ato. Ato.
Ato.
Yoiser
Mikoidim Lachem. What does that mean?
I don't know. Why? I don't know why. Pacha
Mimena.
I don't know.
Lo Yadati, you don't know. Lama Pacha Mimena Ata Yoiser Mikoidim Lachem. Why is he more afraid of this situation now than before that? Why all of a sudden now is a problem? It's not the first time they travel. Vim Neymar.
Vim Neymar Shua Mitzim Shchairim.
Umuchwarim.
Umuchwarim.
Kedivah Rashi.
Kedivah Rashi.
If you say because the Mitzrim were the most despicable, and that's why he's concerned more than anybody else. Hinei gam la'avi melech.
Gam la'avi melech. Melech plishtin.
Amar king.
Amar king. Gam hu gam yitzchok she'adar ber ba'aretz ahi.
B'mitzvah Hashem.
B'mitzvah Hashem. Yeah.
Gam hu gam yit. So if that's true, then why is he also worried about Avimelech? Melech Plishtin, right? And Yitzchak also.
Right.
So he says, Ulai, keep going.
I'm sorry. Ulai hoyu
hakananim.
Hakananim v'dorahu shetayfim.
Shetupim avay the zora.
Shetupim avay the zora v'gdoirim.
Minarayis.
Later than
the Yanchi Mitzrayim, they
and this isn't good.
So he says, maybe you say that the reason why he didn't have concern in Canaan is because maybe they were a little more careful. Even though they were shot by Avodah Zarah, they were steeped in Avodah Zarah, but they were more killed by the Arayis, more than actually Mitzrayim and Pelishtim. I'm not buying that. They were probably just as bad. V'yitochen, keep going.
V'yitochen ki loy hoya lahem pachar rak bevoyim be'ir Moshe
of Hamalachim. What does that mean? It could be, says the Ramban. Anybody know what these words mean? Stop talking. What do these words mean? What do you think that means?
Where are we?
It's the city of kings.
Where
is
the place where
there is
a king?
What? Right. There could be that their only concern was when they traveled to a place where the king was present. Why? Ki
hoya darkum lahavi la melech ha'isha ha'yofe, that's beautiful, ma'ay, very much. Laharig is Baila, and they'll kill her husband, Baalila.
With an excuse. She see more love that they place upon him. In other words, it could be, says the Ramban, the reason why you don't see this problem mentioned only is because Abram only was concerned when they travel a place where the king was, because that's normally what they saw a beautiful woman. They, in order to gain honor and favor of the king, they always bring that beautiful woman to the king. So here is where Abram was concerned, they would come up with some trumped up charges presented to the king, and they would get rid of him. So the reason why Abram was concerned here more than earlier, he says, because maybe he's only concerned when, you know, they were in the vicinity of the king. Was that's what the Ramban wants to suggest. But then he has his own shot in a few moments. Yes.
Why would Abram go to the city where the king lives? I mean, if the whole point of it was you don't want this to happen, then why go to the capital all the time? You should have gone to like the city closest to Eretz Yisrael.
So who took her?
Maybe he had to travel this way. Maybe he had to go through this way. I don't know. He had to. And no, it's. I guess when he got closer to Mitzrayim, when he entered, to the borders of Mitzrayim, that was close enough to where the king was. So apparently it seems, right?
Why is Par concerned about why does he have to get rid of the husband? Why isn't just?
Okay, we'll get there in a second. Good question. All right. Okay, so Ramban goes on, says, V'hanochan be'enai. This is a very important Ramban. The last line, V'hanochan be'enai, what do you mean for us? Mr. Visualizer. V'hanochan be'enai.
Bottom of the Ramban.
Me'ez seisa mecharan b'chol makom. Stop. Says Ramban a very interesting idea. Says Ramban, we got it all wrong. This episode where he says she's my sister, this isn't the first time it happened. Whatever they travel, since they left Charan, he's been saying that. Ramban's question was, how come over here they're getting nervous someplace else? No, says Ramban. It always happened, even in their previous trips
so
as well.
He sins all the time?
What?
He sinned all
no,
the time.
No, so one second. Go on. Kichain, go on. Kichain Amar. Kichain Amar. He says that anytime I would travel. Avalakosav Yaskir Zer, go on, this is the most important, but Avalakosav Yaskir Zer. Inyan Bedover. But again, Avala Kosav Yaskir Zer, what does that mean? Avala Kosav Yaskir Zer, what does that mean? Translate the words. Avala Kosav Yaskir Zer, what does that mean?
The
Pasuk would mention this, B'mekomos, in the places, Asha Yishadish Lehem Inyan Bedover. What does that mean? In other words, the Torah only records events when something unusual happened. In other words, Ramban's question was, hey, why not mention previously? I mean, why was Abram only concerned now about what would happen? So the answer is he was concerned all the time. And every trip they made, they always said this. The Torah only records those few episodes where something happened that shouldn't have happened. You follow? Now that's a very important piece. So that's the Ramban says that this happened all the time. it now puts a couple things in a better light. Number one, even though Ramban said earlier it was a chet for Av do what he did, but understand that this plan worked 99% of the time. Let's say they traveled 100 trips in a lifetime, which they did much more than that. And the Torah records two events that didn't work. It boomeranged twice out of 100 times. At 90,
how would it work?
1 second, let me finish. So 98% of the time, when Avram said that she's my sister, and she corroborated that, that worked. We'll explain in a few months what that means. The bottom line is, so it really wasn't on Avram's part, it seems to be a legitimate form of ishtablis, because in fact, it worked. So even though the Ramban earlier said it was a chet for Avram to put her in a vulnerable position, understand that 98% of the time, or 99.9% of the time, he wasn't doing. He certainly didn't think he was doing so, and the facts bore him out. It always worked. The only time it didn't work was this time, and one other time the Torah records it. Out of the hundreds of times they tried it, it only didn't work twice. So first of all, it does diminish a little bit with Avram, with Ramban calls a chet to Avram, because it really did work. And you could say that even if it backfired once, that's a chet, but understand at least where he's coming from, Avram. Understand that, okay? And by the way, that also helps us understand, I'll take your question in a second, Avram's going to try this later on too, with Avimelech, and again it backfires. And then Yitzhak tries with Avimelech, and also backfires. So the question you really have a right to ask is, understand, Avram, you tried it once, it didn't work. Yitzhak, you saw your father try it, it didn't work. Why are you doing it? And the answer is, it's not a answer, not a kash. Why is it not a kash anymore?
Because they always did.
Because it always worked. You're looking at the two times the Torah recorded where it didn't work. And you say, oh, 1 second, Avram, you tried it once, it didn't work. Why are you doing it again? Yes, sir, your father tried it twice, it didn't work. Why are you doing it again? No, my father didn't try it twice. My father tried it 300 times. It worked 298 times. Of course I'm going to do it. You follow? So with this Ramban, it puts things in a much different perspective. This is a plan that worked. It worked all the time, except for these two exceptions. It's not a kasha.
Why would it? I just don't understand why it would work.
We will get there. Hold on. All right. So that is the Ramban puts things in perspective. Yes. Take your question first. Yes.
Maybe this is what Yag was trying to ask. But wouldn't saying that someone's my sister make it more of a reason for him to take her as a wife? Like.
Okay. So.
One thing if he's had all right.
You're pushing me. I wanted to get this later. I'll do this now. I'll answer both the questions now. Okay. The reason why Avram thought this was a plan that worked, and in fact it did work, is because of the following. In the old days, in the Middle East, and not just the Middle East, but certainly, who would marry off the daughter?
The father. Or brother.
And if there was no father, the brother. The brother's in charge. So by saying, I'm her brother, they'd say, oh, so we have to go through you to marry her. In other words, they would go through, well, I will answer your question in a few moments, all right? They would go through the normative channels. Okay, it's very proper. That's an honorable thing to do. If you want to marry a daughter, you ask the father. That's the way it was done. And they went through honorable, that was their cultural channel. And if it was our father, he went to the brother. Ah, by Avram saying, I'm her brother, it puts him in position.
Say no.
Well, not to say no, but at least certainly to stall, to negotiate, right? It puts him in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. And what he wanted to do was, by being controlled, he would negotiate, well, I'm not sure, I have another suitor, how much can you give me, how much can you give me, right? And then he would, you know, whatever it was, he would do what he needed to do till he could hightail out of there, whatever he had to do to get out of there. So by saying he's a brother, he actually hoped to control the situation, not put her in a more vulnerable position, all right? That's what's going on. Hold one second, let me answer Mayor's question, then I'll take your question. So Mayor wants to know, in general, like, why would they really care if he's married, not married? Let him kill her. Let them kill him. Why? What do they care? Teretz is that specifically Avimelech, but even the Mitzrayim, nobody likes to think of themselves as just evil people, right? Everyone thinks they're doing the right thing, right? So you're absolutely right. It seems rather bizarre that what was Avram's concern? They find out that he's married to her, and they would kill him, right, to take her. Why would they kill him? Why would they just grab her? Right? That's what you're really asking? Yeah, Mayor?
Yeah.
So why would they kill him, gentlemen? Why don't they just take him? Why would they kill him?
Because he
could
come back
feel better.
He could come back. You could go to the king with a claim and say, like...
No, the king's the one's taking her.
Okay, but the citizens are taking them from...
You know why? Because God forbid they wouldn't take a married woman.
Ish.
But they'd kill a man.
Ah, so does it make sense? They'd kill a man instead?
Sure, this was...
Teretz is what? Teres is what?
They kill a man just so they...
Mark it. Just pay attention. Teres is... Teres is what? Why would they kill somebody?
Oh!
Yeah! You deserve that. You deserve that. Teres is... Teres is... Gentlemen, why would they kill him? Just ignore him, maybe he'll go away. Because they wouldn't just kill him. They would have trumped up charges, like the Ramban said, Alilu. They say he was a spy, he was this, right? So they would call rationalize their behavior. So it's an incredible thing. Rather, could somebody remove this carcass from the room?
Dump his carcass.
How many Jews did it take to move Jacob Black out of the room? All right. Thank you. Somebody please remind me, or when you see Kurtz, somebody, they have to grease that door.
And it's so...
All right. Rabbi Isaac, let's do this again.
Rabbi, nobody can escape.
So, bottom line is like this, that they would rationalize their behavior, because they would never kill another person, but they would come up with trumped up charges, but they would never live with a married woman either. So you see the power of rationalization. They wouldn't live with a married woman, so they'd kill him, but they wouldn't really kill him without any reason. They come up with a reason why he deserves to die.
Try him worse than Sodom.
So hold on one second. So that's what's going on over here. So the answer to your question there is that they would never live with a married woman. That's not civilized, right? But so they would kill him. But killing is murder. You can't imagine it's usher. They would rationalize the behavior. There is a medrash pliya. One second. There's a medrash pliya. Medrash pliya is about mikan. From here you see, when you have two choices, I believe it says on Yom Kippur. Rabbi says you have two choices. The doctor says you must eat meat. And you have two choices, either to eat non-kosher meat or to shech a kosher animal and eat that meat. What should you do?
Non-kosher.
Kosher.
Father, you make kiddush on Yom Kippur.
Hebrew national.
You say kiddush you make.
So, one second. The Medrash Pliya says, from here you see, it's better to have kosher meat than eat treif. What do you see from here? So Medrash Pliya, what's the possible connection between eating, you know, shechting the animal rather than eating treif?
You shouldn't rationalize. Once I'm already eating on Yom Kippur.
No.
Says the Vilna Gaon. And it takes nothing less than a Vilna Gaon to connect the dots. It's very simple. When you're eating treif, every single time. When you shech the animal, you have to do only one aveira. At that point on, every ma'is achila is a kosher ma'is achila. It's better to do one shechita and be matir the shechita and then eat kosher every time than every single time that you're forced to eat treif. So what's the right from here? Come on, I'm giving it to you now. What's the riot?
Because now they're only doing one issue.
Which is what?
Because she's not going to be an anxious ish.
Very good. So that's the riot here. You got it?
One answer, but now when you're living with her, it's clean.
So you have two choices. Either they kill him, which is one ma'isa aveira, or they constantly live with an anxious ish, which is an aveira every single time. So they'd rather kill him, which is one ma'isa aveira, than do a ma'isa aveira every time. That's the Vilna Gaon's explanation of this Medrash Pliya. Kavali. All right? Okay. Yes.
So,
quiet, please.
My question is, there were lots of kingdoms back then, all in the same area, so there would be tons and tons of kings. So why did it only not work twice? It shouldn't have worked a lot of times, because whenever he was near kings.
Because most time they bought into the story, and they trusted him, and they let him be the brother. What do you mean? That's what it is. They bought into the story. It was a believable story. No. That's all.
Okay, wait, no, but if they think...
What's going on? Quiet.
On a different shot.
I know, but I'm just saying that if you taking something for a king, if you don't pay for it, then you just say, this is what the king wants, and you take it, so...
Evidently, I'm saying what they did was they would buy into it and they'd rather do it. If they could do it in a civil way, that's what they do. Evidently not. That's not the case. You can't ask a cash from ice. That's not what happened, obviously. Yes?
If
he goes to the town and provides to them, how is he supposed to spread the name of Hashem?
What does that mean?
How is he supposed to...
Why not? Not over here, what about every other place? What's, I don't know what the problem is.
No. So he's negotiating and then he leaves.
Yes, leave, right. Exactly. Exactly left. Okay, so...
Yeah.
But you do see it, no matter what. It is certainly.
You had a good one.
It is bizarre. It certainly is bizarre. It is strange that. But you see the ability of a person to rationalize. Ad kadei kach, that they were never with a married woman, but somehow you can almost rationalize murder. That's the kayak of rationalization. I think I once told you the story. I heard the story. It's an unbelievable. I think it's a Balu story about rationalization. There was a Rosh Shiva who said the story about himself. Now, when he was a bachur in yeshiva, so it was, they had night seder from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock every night. And one particular night, this goes back way back when, there was a radio address from the President of the United States. It was supposed to be a very important address at 9 p.m. And some of them were very interested in hearing that address. But they had a dilemma, because they're really not supposed to leave seder. And seder's from 8 to 10, they just 9 o'clock. So I heard the story from himself. He said what they did was, at 9 o'clock, they went to this. Once at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, one of them walked over to the clock on the wall, and changed it so it said 10 o'clock, and then they left. Now, listen to what he said. He said, "We all saw him change the clock. We all knew that he changed the clock. But you know what? Because it said 10 o'clock on the wall, we felt a little less guilty because it said 10 o'clock, right? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. But they felt less guilty, right?" Think about it, right? Because it's 10 o'clock on the wall, so it's not really fit, right? It makes no sense. That's called rationalization. Rationalization doesn't have to make sense. If you want to see something, you want to believe something, you want to think something, you'll think it. They saw him change the clock. They knew it wasn't, but they felt a little less guilty because the clock said 10, right? It doesn't make sense, but welcome to rationalization. Welcome to rationalization. And that's what we're very good at doing. We're geniuses when it comes to rationalization, even when it doesn't make sense, and we could fool ourselves. Literally, rationalization is not that you convince yourself as much as you fool yourself. You could actually fool yourself. Literally fool yourself. It makes no sense, but that's the kayak of rationalization. That's the power. And we're always rationalizing, because we always are getting bribed by the Yetzer Hara, so we'd like to do certain things. So it's a huge thing to overcome, to be able to take a step back and say, am I being objective or am I rationalizing? Because more often than not more often, almost immediately, every one of the decisions is colored by a personal legis. Every one of the decisions. And you have to be able to take a step back, and that's what Musa is all about. What Musa is all about, in a nutshell, is somehow being able to be self-aware and be aware of what your negis is and what your real choice is. Musa is all about, am I really making a choice because it's right? Because of my negis. And Musa is all about being able to be strong enough and aware enough of what your negis are and overcoming that. Musa is about self-awareness. When you're learning Musa, it's becoming self-aware. When I'm actually making this choice, is it me making a choice? Is it my body making that choice? Who's really making that choice? Where's my negias? Is my ego getting involved? Is my laziness getting involved? Am I really choosing, or is something else coming into play? And more often than not, that's what it is. And Musa is the ability to A, become self-aware, and B, to try to remove those negias so you are making a purely objective choice. Not easy. It's a huge avoida, because we all start out with negias. All of us have negias. And the idea is to somehow to undo that negias. A, become self-aware what that negis is, and B, then to undo it so we actually can make an objective choice. But that's the avodah, that's where Musa is. Musa really is all about becoming self-aware. Because otherwise, it's all about negis. So, Imrunah, Choyseyat, Laman, Yitl, Be'avu, Reich. And by the way, that's what it means. Say you're my sister, so I'll benefit from you. Also, I was trying to make a money on the deal over here. You say you're my sister, I'll make some bucks on the deal. So Laman Yitav Liba Avu Reich, based on what we said earlier, that he's saying, look, if I'm the brother, what's going to happen? They're going to have to buy me off with gifts to marry you. Laman Yitav Avu Reich means that they're going to have to buy me off to marry you. And then I'll raise the price so high, or I'll play one against the other, that I'll eventually be able to stall. That's what Laman Yitav Avu Reich is really going to. I believe our first chest, I'm not sure.
How can you just skip down?
Well, you could just say it's a deal
ball. You can't. It would be nice if you could. and I'll live through because of you. Okay.
So what's he stalling to?
Okay. Okay. Fine.
Why doesn't he say that it'll save you?
Huh?
Like he says, Imri Nach is the odds, so it'll benefit me. But like,
right, because you're already being saved.
Not really. Like you're also gonna have to get married or.
Okay. So by the way, that's true. I didn't tell you the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra and others learn Balaturim. The Osichi Chayu actually means that they'll. I don't quite understand how it works. Look at the Ibn Ezra. They'll help you out. It's the time of it's a famine time. It'll be good for you. So I'm not quite sure why he's saying that. Then like, they'll kill me and you'll benefit. Like, so what's wrong with that? You know, I don't hear. According to Ibn Ezra, I don't really have a race. Why he's saying that point? Why does it bother him if she benefits? Unless he feels that somehow. That all the gifts that you lavished upon her might influence her as well. It's not clear to me. One second. Shh. Oh, look at the Sfarno. The Sfarno says very similar to what I just said. Leman Yitav Li. By the way, this Sfarno, I don't know why. I feel he's a very underutilized Pirush. I think I mentioned this also. You don't see people quoting him enough, I think. I think Sfarno is an incredible pshat. He's very similar to Ramban in terms of his, I don't know, style is the right word. He's much briefer than Ramban, much, much briefer. But the same kind of understanding of the Chumash is what he brings. So he's very practical, he's much briefer, but he really gives you a great pirush. And I don't know why he's not utilized more. But look at the Sfarno Leman Yitav Li. Leman Yitav Li. Leman, so that, Kishe Toimri She'at Achoisi, when you say you're my sister, they'll all hope that I'll marry you to them. It says straight out. Right? I mean, I'm singing hers, but I think it's far says this. And no one's gonna want to kill me because they know that I have to find favor in their eyes. Right? If they want me to marry up to them, if anything, they're gonna placate me, not even want to kill me. But they'll give you all these gifts to make sure. Either I'll keep you alive. That's how you do. They try to be mafata. They would try to bribe the father of the wife of the daughter with gifts and also the cousins. So they would agree to give it to the one that wants to marry her.
But she's right? Not young. She's like.
But one second. Clearly, it says she's very beautiful, right?
She's beautiful. They don't care how old
right.
she is.
All right. Okay. So our boy's like, so the Sparta really says, mom, spells out what you said. Says, spells straight out. Okay, very good. Says she's beautiful. That's what it says.
I know, but she was a grown-up lady. You don't have to ask her brother. Like,
no, that's not true.
Well, back then, you did, because the men had all the power.
You always have, right.
Didn't really have any
always that. That's correct. Okay, Adkan, we're up to Shani now. Okay? Yeah. Now, I'm going to read Til Perik Yud Gimel, straight in a row, because I want you to get the context of the Pesukim, and then I'll come back. Vayi kevoy Avram Mitzrayim, when Avram came down to Mitzrayim, v'yiru ha-Mitzrayim esa isha, the Mitzrayim saw this woman, ki yafi ma'od, she was very beautiful. By the way, it says ma'od. She was exceedingly beautiful. Ma'od. Vayiru oisa, anytime you say the word ma'od, it means emphasis, exceedingly so. So she was beautiful, yafi ma'od. Vayiru oisa saw paro, and the princes of paro saw her, vayahalu oisa paro, and they praised the paro. By Tukach Ha'ishim Beis Paroi, and this woman was taken to the house, the palace of Paro. Ula Avram hated Bavura, and in fact they all gave him gifts. By he like saying Ubakar B'chamayim B'avodim Mishvachas by Sain Zugmalim, and they gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and servants and maid servants and female donkeys and gmalim. By Nag Hashem as Paro Negoyim Gedolim, and Hashem brought upon Paro major Negoyim. Plagues, Vespesoi, and also on this household. Alvar Sarai is Avram because of Sarai, the wife of Avram.
It's weird.
Vayikra Parai L'Avram, and Parai calls to Avram. Vayimra Maaz Zoi says, Sicily, why did you do this to me? Loma Lai Gadatli Kishtafi. Why don't you tell me she's your wife? Loma Marti Achoisi. Why do you say she's my sister? Ve'ek Achoisolu Isha, took her for a wife. Va'ata now, Hine Ishtacha Kach Malech, take this woman, get out of here. Vayisavol and Paroi Anoshim, and Paro commanded his people, Vayishalchoisoi Vesishtoi, and they drove him out, and Veskolashloi, and everything he had. Ad Khan, this is the conclusion of the story. Yes, questions, yes.
Isn't it a weird way for the Torah to say, like, Al-Tavar, Sarai, Shazavram, just say because of Sarai, not like because of the matter? It's like,
yes, good. Al-Dvar Yisrael Abram is problematic. We'll see what Rashi says because of that. We'll try to explain Rashi. Very good. What other question you got? Yes.
If you're learning Pshat Vayelkom El HaFadosh is a new...
Where's Vayelkom El HaFadosh? Where's the Vayelkom El HaFadosh?
I am saying in Shemais.
Oh, Shemais, go on, yeah?
Yeah, that it's an old king, but new ways.
New.
So he had Makis on him done right here.
Right.
So shouldn't he have learned from that?
Nope. Why? Nope. But you're absolutely right.
We will see
the Ramban says exactly right. His makis were my service on the bottom. You're absolutely right. This whole story, this whole episode is a my service on the bottom. Yes. Go on. Mickey.
Why would Paro say, like, why didn't you say that she was your wife and not your sister? I mean, we already know that the reason why. So why would Paro say, why, like, you say that she was your wife and not your sister?
Well, he's defending his position, saying that, you know, how do you suspect that I would do something so terrible?
How did Paro know that he was his wife?
So
no one told him
that he was his wife.
So then why didn't he just kill Avram and stay married to Sarah?
How did he know, practically?
I mean, it's like, why didn't he do that? And that would have been the practical
thing. Who told
thing.
Paro that Sarah was Avram's wife?
We will see Rashi. Hold on.
Who's Amala?
Hold on. Okay, let's see Rashi's. So let's see the Rashi's for good questions. Let's see Rashi's first. These are all good questions, and it'll develop. What is your problem? You did turn around.
What?
You know, I think I'm going to apply for a different position here. Babysitter. I think they pay you more as babysitter than as a teacher. I think babysitter is about $10 an hour. All right, so I'll get more that way. I'm going to apply to be a babysitter. I'm babysitting. And then I'll get more money per hour, and it's worth it. All right? Shady, says Rashi, Vayihi kivay Avram Mitzrayma. Says Rashi, Hoyaloi loymar kivay Mitzrayma. What do you kivay? Kivay is singular. Say kivay Elalime che hitman isa beteva. But rather, he hit her in a box. Vayidei che tovu esamechas, because they said, oh, a box here. We got to charge you taxes. Pasku Varoa saw, they saw and they said, uh-oh. All right? So he hid it from view. Now,
One second.
Like
Yaakov
had Dina?
Yeah,
they gonna kill him anyway.
Herbie, what did Rashi say?
Okay. So Rashi says that Avram took another preventive measure. He tried to hide her. Again, he was not Seimich on this idea that she's my sister. He tried to hide her as well. And when they saw that she was hidden, or they saw this box, they wanted to know what the box was in the box. And they opened it up, and they saw who it was. And
so then why did they give gifts to Avram?
Because then he's still, interestingly enough, he was able to convince them, nonetheless, which is kind of hard to understand, convince them that she was the little sister. All right? I will tell you a story that's not so related.
No, it's believable.
But I want to share with you a story that is not so negated to this parsha as much as it just reminds me of a story that I think is good to know. All right? I heard it b'shem Rav Shadran. It's like this. There was a man that once came to him and said, was crying. Why was he crying? Because his daughter was going to marry Shagins. You know what to do. So the Rosh Hashanah said, I want to tell you a story. Okay? He said, Poland and Russia shared, you know, they always had these wars going on between them and these internal disputes. And every war, the border moved a little bit. Russia annexed a little piece of the border. So that was Poland, is now Russia. And Poland won, right? So there's always these little skirmishes at the borders, and every country would claim at a particular time that the border was theirs. It ended up, after one particular such little battle, that half of this town was split in two. Half the town was in Russia, and half the town was now in Poland. Problem was, for the people in Poland, the part of town that was now Russia had the cemetery. So in order to really bury the dead, you had to cross through another country now. Even though it's really the same town, it was split in two now. And so that became problematic, because you had to go into the country, you had a visa, it's a whole hack. So they worked out a deal with the Russians that if they came to funerals, they wouldn't require the whole, you went straight to the cemetery, you came back, they wouldn't require the whole deal. Anyway, this Yid chaps an idea. Hey, one second. This is great. This is a perfect smuggling opportunity. Because they're not going to check you at the border, because it's a Levaya, right? So what he did was, he used to have a fake coffin, and put all these smuggling stuff inside, and smuggle across the border, make some money. And he did this mamish every other week. He must have claimed he was part of the Chevra Kedisha, whatever the case is, I don't know. Anyway, one time the border guard, the Russian guy, smells something's not right here. This doesn't seem like a funeral. He says to the guy, what's in that box? He says, what do you mean? The person says, open the box. Open the box. Can't open the box. Open the box. You don't stand. It's Jewish custom. It's a terrible thing. Can't open the box. Open the box now. He starts crying. Please, you don't open this box. It's really not nice to the mace. You don't open the box now. Your life is on the line. Now he realizes he's in big trouble. He's crying some more, crying some more. Listen, I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you the truth. I don't want that intimate, this crazy thing I smuggled. I'll never do it again. Please, spare my life. And the Russian guard looks at him and says, you don't understand. If you would have cried earlier, meaning at the Levaya, you wouldn't have to cry now. And meaning like, I smelled something was false because when you brought those pots over, you weren't crying. If you would have cried earlier, you wouldn't have to cry now. That's what he told him. Says Rav Shadran to this man, you're making a mistake. If you would have cried earlier, which means when your child was growing up, and you said, oh, vey, my child, what's going to be with my child? He doesn't have a Torah education. Who knows if he'll remain Jewish? If you would have cried earlier, you won't have to come crying to me now that the child's marrying a guy. You're waking up too late. You should have cried earlier. Now, Rav Shadran was not trying to stick it to him. He's probably trying to save him, or to rather make sure that his other children don't go through the same thing too. If you cry earlier, if you're concerned about your children's chinuch earlier, you don't wake up later and say, oh, look how my child turned out. Oh, you think, hello, then why didn't you give your child the proper attention, the proper chinuch, whatever else, earlier? If you would have cried earlier, you wouldn't have to cry now. All right? So that's a very important yisayi b'chlal and chinuch, that, you know, when you wake up too late sometimes, say, oh, you think, what happened? Well, if you would have showed your concern, your care, if you would have intervened earlier, if you'd been more on top of things earlier, then they wouldn't happen now. And that's certainly true about this guy whose daughter was, you know, marrying a Shagetz. Obviously, had he been more concerned earlier, he wouldn't necessarily have this concern now. Why am I telling you the story now? Only it's mine because Sarah was in a box. That's the reason why. But anyway, bottom line is, Sarah is in a box. Avram, the Paro opens it up, or rather the people open it up. Okay. Now it says, Vayahalu Isa El Paroi. Hilu Beinehem. They praised her amongst themselves. Leimer Haguna Zulamel says she is so beautiful, she's worthy for the king. Now, Rashi's learning by Halos El Paro doesn't mean they praised her to Paro, but it means they praised her amongst themselves, saying she's worthy of going to Paro. Now, why did Rashi stretch it? Why did Rashi learn like the Pasuk says? They praised her to Paro.
Because then it never said they went to Paro or said they left Paro.
Okay, good. What is it? Never said they went to Paro. Okay, probably. Look at this. The Chacham says it. Os Aleph. What does he say?
It should have said Lifnei Paro.
Right. It should have said Vayal Osa Lifnei Paro, not El Paro. So therefore, it learns something else. Okay, fine. Rav Schwab once told me that this is the first time in the Torah it says the word Hallel. And any time the first time a word appears in the Torah, it is shedding light on that word. So. What do you learn from here? They praised her to Paro. Why? Because she was exceedingly beautiful.
So when you see a beautiful woman,
you see that Hallel is a word or a concept associated with praise, that something's exceedingly incredible. Hallel is associated for something that's excessive, something that's extra special. Hallel is reserved, or the verb Hallel means praise for something that's extraordinary, out of the ordinary. And therefore, the word Vayahalu Isa is used over here because she was extraordinarily beautiful, and therefore they praise her to Paro. All right? So just pointing out the word Hallel, the first time it comes up in the Torah is right over here, and it's associated with something that's extraordinary. And Hallel is the kind of tefillah that's used to express an experience that's extraordinary. That's what he says. Okay. Vatukach Ha'isha Beis Paro. She was taken to Paro. It doesn't really say who took her because that's not really relevant. Batukach, she was taken. Anytime you see that expression, she was taken as opposed to somebody took her, it really is the underlying message is it's being choreographed by Hashem. Notice, if you don't emphasize the person doing it, just that she was taken.
Oh, it says in Megillah.
What?
It says in Megillah.
Yeah. So also the same idea that it was this being choreographed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Alright? And Al-Avim hated Bavura, and they gave him lots of stuff. This always bothers me. I like you guys to come up with an answer yourselves. Very often you find they'll say they gave him sheep, oxen, donkeys, servants, maid servants, and female donkeys. What's wrong with the way it's listed?
Female donkeys.
No.
It lists the servants that people after.
Yeah, in the middle. It says they gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male servants and female donkeys and camels. Like, why are they sticking these slaves in the middle of describing the livestock?
The first ones are all things that work for you, or you can eat the second one, the last one, the female donkeys and camels are only